Igen, nem. Nem, nem lesz több. Ennyi.
A szürke fejhallgatót vegyétek föl, mert tudjátok, az rögzíti a hangot.
Mindenki hall? Ki nem hall? Bori? Egyes?
Semmi. Nichts. Nichts, geht's? Liebe Frau Merkel.
Mehet? Most mindenkinek jó van. Oké, okay, kezdjük.
Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon I'd like to talk about Estonia and Slovenia. Two of the most successful states in post-communist Central Eastern Europe. And to be more precise, I would like to explain why Slovenia would like to imitate Estonia. Well, to begin with, let's look at what these two rich states have in common. We can say, in summary, that they are both small, smug, and thriving. Well, why is that? Well, to begin with, Slovenia has, since the end of communism, easily been the leading and richest ex-communist state in Central Eastern Europe. Whereas Estonia today can now boast Europe's fastest level of GDP growth. Indeed, in the latest quarter, it recorded a figure of 9.9% growth year on year, easily outpacing the rest of Europe. Well, what else do they have in common? As you're all aware, both are members of NATO and the EU. And furthermore, and significantly, both of them plan to introduce the euro by 2007, which seems to be a very realistic target in both cases. Both countries, furthermore, have created stable, prosperous societies with relatively strong institutions. And, as I said, and as you are all aware, I'm sure, both escaped communist rule with a very a common background. In Slovenia's case, it meant that they escaped from old Tito Yugoslavia, whereas in, of course, Estonia's case, as one of the Baltic states, they escaped from the Soviet Empire, if escape is an appropriate word to use in this situation. Well, as we know, and as I've already outlined to you, Slovenia is easily still the richest country in the region. So why would it want to copy Estonia? Well, here are the reasons for copying Estonia, which have recently been outlined and addressed by the Slovene Prime Minister, Mr. Janez Janša. The first area to look at is taxation. To begin with, Estonia introduced a 24% flat tax on both personal and corporate income. This seems very appealing to the Slovene government. Furthermore, 80% of Estonians file an annual tax return online. And this only takes a matter of minutes. Furthermore, the whole tax return processing takes some 5 days. So all in all, this is very quick and efficient. Now, the second area that the Prime Minister has looked at and referred to is the greater economy. And we can really use the word or expression economic openness, because Estonia really has introduced a very market-oriented system. The origins of this, of course, go back to 1991. Estonia effectively started from scratch when the Soviets left. And starting from scratch meant that they privatized basically everything in the country. So nothing was left nationalized. I think very good example of that, of what they've done in the country, would be to quote one company, Skype. Now, Skype is an internet telephone company, and it's based in Tallinn, the capital city of Estonia, and it really has blossomed as a company and is very attractive to investors and to foreigners. It's a development center in Tallinn, employs 100 IT specialists. And it should be pointed out that it enjoys Estonian shareholders. Now, these Estonian shareholders are all multimillionaires today, which goes a long way to show how well Estonian business has developed in recent years. Also, I'd like to draw your attention to the fact that, along with privatizing the whole economy, no more state support effectively existed. It meant that the government shunned tariffs and subsidies and bailouts and indeed restrictions on foreign ownership. Hence, no money was wasted in the public sector and the market became open to foreigners. The next area to look at
cseréljünk. Itt vegyék át a partnerek.
The next area to look at is public administration. Mr. Janse was very impressed with what Estonia calls e-government. That's, of course, the idea that mouse clicks and not queues outside government offices are the best way for citizens to meet the state and do business with the state. Indeed, many votes in the last weekend's local elections in Estonia were cast online. Now, the next area I'd like to draw your attention to is education. Estonia boasts dozens of institutions, above all in the tertiary sector, which are competitively priced and attract a lot of foreign students, particularly from Asia. Some attract students of medicine and veterinary science from next door Finland too, but the most important point perhaps would be that most of these courses are conducted in English. Well, I would like to point out, though, that Estonia is not perfect in every way, of course. For the Slovenes, the state of roads, the rundown healthcare system, and the wholly deregulated labour market that characterizes Estonia would horrify Slovenes and would not be acceptable to Slovene culture, which prides itself in its high level of public services. Furthermore, even Estonians themselves fret about corruption and government complacency. But Despite those failings, why is it then that Slovenia, still the richest country in Central Eastern Europe, wants to copy Estonia so much? Well, of course, I've already outlined the fact that Estonia boasts the fastest GDP growth in the region, indeed in the whole of Europe. But there must be more. Slovenia, even under the old Yugoslavia, was easily the richest part of that part of communist Europe. And we all know that it's very well and strategically located in, and actually has one of Europe's most important ports. Furthermore, it boasts world-class makers of furniture, domestic appliances, and of course has a very healthy medicine manufacturing sector. Nevertheless, there are problems. Now, one would be that we could say that the state has basically pampered to the public sector, which means that it's tried to prop up many failing institutions, which have cost a lot of money and perhaps have been to no avail. Furthermore, one of the major grievances of Mr. Janša is that there is a coziness associated with the old networks in Slovenia, which date back to the old intelligence services of communist times. He would like to break with this tradition, if you like, but it takes time. Furthermore, if we look at education in Slovenia, we can see that public institutions, together with education, are very sleepy and inward-looking. To give you one good example, even in modern, rich Slovenia, it's rather unique to find any education, in tertiary education that is, conducted in English. In fact, the main university in the country insists stodgily that all courses in the country be taught in Slovenian. And together with that, the bureaucratic hurdles are far higher than in Estonia. However, despite Mr. Janša's enthusiasm for adopting the Estonian model, and despite, of course, the misgivings or failures of the Estonian system so far, we would have to say that some people, some critics in Slovenia, believe that it's only a political gimmick. They don't believe that Mr. Janša is truly interested in making Slovenia the new Estonia of Southern Europe. However, despite such criticism, we have to say that it's interesting and admirable to see a politician in Eastern Europe today actually looking outwards and seeing how he can improve his own country, and what's more, improve his own country based on a fellow ex-communist state. Thank you very much for your attention.